When my niece Claire was about 3 years old, the people who lived across the street for them had a nativity scene out in their yard at Christmas time. And now Claire had a favorite story. And she saw this nativity scene and she said, "Mommy, Mommy, look, they have baby Moses." Baby Moses was the story that she wanted read over and over and over and over again. And she wanted you to read it to her, but really she had it memorized, so if you got any words wrong, she would correct you. She could probably have recited it for you. And she wasn't completely wrong when she saw that nativity scene and said, "Baby Moses," because this story of Moses is such a defining story for God's people, for the Jewish people, for the Christian people, and all of us up until today. This is how God was speaking to and caring for and saving God's people. This fall, we've been talking a lot about names and what is in a name. There are lots of names that we encounter in this story here. First, we hear about the Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh means king in Egypt, and the king, or Pharaoh, was seen as almost a god. But this very powerful man was insecure, and he was afraid of the Israelite people and how they were multiplying. And this very important political leader is not given a name in this story. He was merely referred to as Pharaoh. In contrast, these two midwives that we encounter are named Shiphrah and Puah. They are women going about their daily tasks, and their particular line of work is helping other women to have babies. Now, when they hear Pharaoh's desire to have the Israelite babies killed at the time of birth, they are not willing to do that. So in their own quiet way, they object, not by loudly protesting or getting big rallies together, but instead, they say that the Israelite women are so robust that the babies have already been born by the time they get there. Now, the name Shiphrah means beautiful in the Hebrew language, and the name Puah means to cry out. She's not crying out loudly with words, but she is crying out through civil disobedience. Look at how beautifully they were able to thwart the Pharaoh's plan to kill those baby boys. And these two women are ordinary people like you and me, not royalty and heads of state and politicians and people who go on campaigns that cost millions of dollars. But they were the two women who ensured that baby Moses was not killed at the time of his birth. As the story continues, we hear about three other very strong, independent women who are not given names in this particular story, but they are identified based on their family relationship. And that is Moses' mother and his sister and the Pharaoh's daughter, who becomes the adopted mother of Moses. And it was through the actions of these women that Moses' life was protected. God was working through them. Moses' mother, who creates the basket and waterproofs it so that it will float on the river. Moses' sister, who hides to see if the princess comes along and adopts the baby, and then connects the Pharaoh's daughter with a nurse to nurse the baby, who turns out to be the baby's own actual natural mother. And this young woman who raises Moses in the Pharaoh's house. All of these things together carry out God's work, ensuring that Moses grows into a young man and then is called by God to do God's work. It is the Pharaoh's daughter you heard in the reading that Barb did for us who named Moses. And she named him Moses or Moshe, which in Hebrew means drew out of the water, because that is where she found the basket and drew the baby out of the water. I also read that in the Egyptian language, the word Moses means to be born. And this baby being born and allowed to live had such an impact on the future generations of God's people. So Moses was drawn out of the water. And then, as we just experienced, this burning bush, ooh, I better step away. It's burning, but it isn't burning up. Calls out, Moses, Moses. God calls Moses by name and asks Moses to do something, to take off his sandals because he's standing on holy ground, to be a leader of the people, and deals with all of the objections that Moses gives to God. And unlike the story last week, where Jacob was wrestling, and he had an inkling that this wasn't just a human he was wrestling, that it was an angel, that this was God. And so Jacob asked for God's name, but he did not get God's name. In this story, however, when Moses says, "Who should I say sent me?" the burning bush says, "I am who I am." Now that is an interesting name. That is not a name like we have. Our names are nouns. This name is a verb, an action, a state of being. God is an action verb. What do we do with that? God is not a passive God. God is a God of action. God is a God of creation, of creating life initially and ongoing creation and working through us as God's people to continue life and creation. And this God of action calls Moses to action. Moses, who doesn't initially feel like he is up to the task. And God says, "I will be with you." And Moses finally agrees to God's plan. And Moses knows he is standing on holy ground and in this sacred presence as he is given God's very sacred name. But not just God's name is sacred. All our names are sacred. Moses, which means draw out of the water, and it foreshadows how Moses will lead the people across the Red Sea to freedom from slavery in Egypt. God calls each of us by name as we are named and claimed in our baptism, as those waters wash over us. Another water theme, another name theme. God calls us by name. We are his. And God is ours. God is calling us to continue to love God and love our neighbors. Amen. And now let us sing together, "Holy, Holy, Holy."